Have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We've been going through this tremendous book. We have learned that the Corinthian church was a divided church. The Apostle Paul tackled that head on. We find that there were amongst these folks those who evidently believed they were more spiritual than the other, and so we had these groups, and whether they actually said, "I'm of Paul or Apollos," we find one verse that kind of gives us the idea that was some names that Paul made up to protect the others. But we find there were certainly those groups in the church, and there was division there. I find, as I study the Word of God, that there is something that God really hates, and that is divisiveness among the brethren. If there's something I've learned through the years, I think I've learned this. God has really two basic things to teach us. And I get this as I look at the Great Commandment. The first thing God wants us to do is learn how to get along with God. How do we do that? We let Him have His way. It's pretty simple. Okay? And we believe in Him. We trust Him. We let Him have His way. He does the directing. We do the following. And things work tremendously. Secondly, and it goes with the second command, and that is God is trying to teach us how to get along with each other. Now that can become problematic. God's a whole lot easier to get along with than most of us. God's perfect. God doesn't make any mistakes. And so everybody we know, they're not perfect and they make lots of mistakes. Isn't that true? People, we have the ability to make enemies. We have the ability to be contemptible. We have the ability to say stupid things. Just sit around long enough, and I do that quite often in the pulpit. And I went home last Sunday, and I found out what I said was wrong. So anyway, how many times have I done that through the years? Is there help going on back there? Anyways, God wants us to get along with each other. Okay? And that means for you and I to, first of all, get along with God. Because if we're not walking right with God, it's very obvious we're not going to walk right with each other. And when you and I are walking with God, walking with Him correctly, then we're going to get along marvelously. If you're going in the same direction with God that I'm going in, we can do that arm in arm. And we can do it, you know, in a tremendous way. And that's what God wants in your life and my life. So, we find this, these chapters dealing with this particular problem. Now, we come to chapter number 7. And we find that God, last week we dealt with some issues there, but this week we're going to look at chapter number 7, and we're going to deal with an issue of marriage. Now we're getting to a place where we're talking about some relationships that, these are long-lasting. And we find some instructions that God gives us here. So we're going to look at this tonight, and I want us to, most of all, especially for our young folks here tonight, girls, what I'm talking about, I want you to pay attention, okay? I've been around the block a long time. I know what I'm talking about in this area. You don't. Okay? I want you to listen. You got it? Okay? You can talk to each other after class. Does that sound fair? Okay? Is that good? You got it. Okay. So pay attention, because these are some vital things that a lot of young folks and old folks don't really understand. So I want us to look at chapter number 7 tonight and notice some things. Now notice what's said in verse number 1. "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." Now we're going to stop and deal with that for a little bit. Let me read verse number 2 with it. "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." In the preceding chapter, the concluding remarks emphasize that our bodies belong to God. And that you and I, we must keep them pure because He dwells in us as He did in the Old Testament temple. And so notice verse 19. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? God has bought us. We are His. Our body belongs to Him. Okay? Now, it's obvious as we come into chapter 7 that the Corinthians had written a letter to Paul asking him some question or questions. We don't know what the question is, but we do have an answer right here. Okay? And so he says, "The things concerning whereof you wrote unto me." Now, we find six chapters, probably they didn't write to him about that. He had heard about those things from the house of Chloe. But now we find Paul writing to answer their question. He says, "It's good for a man not to touch a woman." By the way, on a lot of college campuses, they take that very literally and they say, "You're going to stay 6 inches away from any girl." I don't know if they run around with little rulers or not, but it's basically a good rule. This is a term, if I understand correctly, that's not referring to that kind of a touch, but it's a term that comes out of Old Testament times. It's really talking about it's good for a man really to, how can I express this? It's good for a man not to be in a position where he's desirous of a woman, but he ought to be married, basically, as to be desirous of a woman and find himself in a place of sin. And Paul addresses this particular issue. Now, some folks, they say, well, Paul was, as we look in here, it says that he wasn't married. Well, maybe Paul wasn't married. I personally believe Paul was probably widowed because Paul, if we look at things correctly, Paul was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was one who voted on Stephen's death, which that was the group of people. And one of the requirements was that they were to be married. I believe Paul was widowed at this particular time and did not choose to marry again, especially with the ministry that he had. By the way, even if he never was married, it doesn't make any difference as to the veracity of what we are reading here before us. Okay? Do you realize you don't have to go through some things to understand about those things? I have never robbed a bank, but I can with authority tell you that it's wrong. Because of the principle in the Bible that says, "Thou shalt not steal." Okay? So, you say, well, you can't relate to a bank robber. Well, yes, I can. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner. He's a sinner. I can understand sin. But that's not the issue here. We're talking about Scripture here. We're talking about something that was given to us of God. And if Paul never was married, had no idea what it was about, the Holy Spirit of God certainly does. Okay? And so you and I have some teaching here that we ought to look at. In verse number 2, he says, "Nevertheless," he said, first of all, it's good if a man don't touch a woman. It's good if he can remain unmarried. "But to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband." Okay? Now, we need a little background here for just a moment. We go to the city of Corinth. And we find that Corinth was a very licentious, very sinful city. Towering above Corinth was a temple to Aphrodite. Aphrodite was a goddess of love, a goddess of beauty, of sexuality. I don't like using the word, but help us to understand where we're coming from. This temple to this goddess had within it 1,000 what they called Vestal Virgins. They were nothing more than prostitutes in the name of religion. In the city of Corinth, amongst the men that had wives or wives, they were basically property. Women, you ought to be thankful for the Word of God. Because in many societies, women were thought of no differently than a cow or a horse or a chicken or any other thing that was owned by the man. And often a man would have two or three. One would take care of the household things, and other the things on the outside, and you know, whatever he had for them to do. And when they wanted their intimacy, if we use that word, they went to the temple with the prostitutes. And that was the kind of lifestyle that went on in the city of Corinth. Sad to say, not a whole lot different than America. And so we find here that in this city now, Paul is writing to these people and he's saying to them something that is brand new to them. He is saying to them, listen, if you have those kinds of desires, then you are to have your own wife and every woman to have her own husband. What's he saying? One man, one woman. God created what? Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve. Okay? Homosexuality is simply wrong. There's nothing scriptural about it. I was looking for a book today on what do you call some of these websites? It was iBooks. I don't know what it was. Anyways, here it was under the religious books. And here's a book on homosexuality in the church. And how, I suppose, how wonderful it is. No, it isn't. But we find here that God created what? Man and woman. And out of the rib, of course, God took the woman, made her for the man. And she was to be a helpmeet to him. Okay? And not his workhorse, not his slave, but one who stood alongside of him. And when Paul writes to these people, he's trying to lift marriage out of the dregs that it was in to help them understand something, that a woman was very important and a guy ought to have a wife and a wife ought to have her own husband, period. He wasn't to go to other women. He wasn't to have those kinds of things. Paul lifted marriage to a new height. Now, a lot of your feminist groups, they come to the Word of God and they'll come to the book of Ephesians, and there it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And they say, He wants women to be underneath of a man and he's going to rule over her with an iron fist. Let me give you a little thought with this. Submit. That's an act of the will. That tells me Paul thinks that this one that's called a woman has a very intelligent being. One that could very well rule over the fellow. And is that not true? But one who, recognizing God's positions of things, places herself in that spot of submission or yielding to Him. She's in this place where she is responding to Him. He's to be the leader. By the way, girls, don't be the leader in relationships. Let the boys call you. Girls, you're stupid when you chase after the boys. Can I say it any plainer? You're stupid. We're not supposed to say that. It is not what God has for us. Listen to me. You know how she caught me? By playing hard to get. Listen, I knew girls that were easy. They threw themselves at you. That was no challenge. That wasn't fun. I don't know what word to use. It was not what I wanted. And she let me be the aggressor. And she responded. That's what he's talking about in this kind of a thing. Girls, be smart. Oh, there's ways. You know, there's ways to let him know that you're interested, but don't be the one who initiates those things. Let him be that kind of person. By the way, if you do that, you're going to be starting a relationship that can work for life. So God wants you and I to understand right off the get-go, it's a woman and a man. God has set this up. Now, verse number 3. We get into some technicalities here. He says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto her husband. Maybe we could say that very simply. Treat each other nicely. By the way, notice who is to be the aggressor. Who did he name first? The guy. Yeah. Let the husband render the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Okay. When the guy treats the woman right, he gets the right kind of response. And it's very, very important that we note that throughout the Word of God. Verse number 4. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. When you get married, you have basically what? Said to the other one, I am yours. I am yours. And we are submitting ourselves one to another. And that love and that submission of one to another in that regard is a tremendous thing. Now notice verse 5. He goes on, he says, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. Now he wants us to understand, first of all, this is not a command, it's something that's by the permission of God. It's not something God's saying, hey, you have to do this. And what he's talking about is that as two people, a man and a wife, as they concur together and want to separate themselves, particularly in sexual affairs, that they might give themselves to prayer and fasting for a season. He's saying, go for that. Not for any other things. It's got to be by mutual consensus. It needs to be in a time frame, and the purpose is for fasting and prayer. And God is trying to help them to understand this. Now, some folks come to here and they say, well, this is talking about celibacy. Not at all. And it's talking about when a man and wife, they're in love with God, and they want to, part their way for just a little bit, they might really seek after God. And then come back together again. Let me put in a little bit different time frame, a little different element, and give you an illustration, one that I'm very familiar with many, many years back. None of you know the couple. They were not members of our church, but I knew the situation very, very well. Many years ago, some of you might remember, there was a lot of problem with our Christian schools, and there was across the river, the school that had been, the church had been padlocked, and there was problems all across the country. And this couple had actually been a part of that church for a while. And he got so caught up into going to all these fights and going to this church and that church and this rally and that rally, he was leaving his wife home alone. Not for weeks at a time, but months at a time. Over extended periods. It was not her idea. He just decided to do it. And what it led to was divorce. One, it was not for the purpose of prayer and fasting. He said he was doing it for God, but it was not by mutual consent. And here we find a real problem that came about. God wants us to understand what? There needs to be a proper mutual, what's the word I'm looking for? Understanding between a man and his wife in these kinds of things. You're working as partners. And God wants us to maintain that kind of relationship. Paul goes on in verse number 7. He said, I would that all men were even as myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. Paul at this time, I believe, was widowed. And Paul said, boy, I wish, you know, if men could, they'd be like that. They might give themselves wholly to the ministry. But he says, really, basically, that's not true of most. And if a man cannot handle that, then he should not be doing that. But Paul was in a very unusual ministry. Paul was in a ministry whereby he was traveling here, there, and everywhere. And it had been a very difficult situation for a wife to have been with him. And there are men who will take some itinerant missionary journeys of this sort for maybe a month or two and go on the road for different purposes. Sometimes evangelists, sometimes our missionaries do these kinds of things. But it's always because the man and wife are working as a team. And it's by mutual consent they do and so and what have you. But here Paul says, if we're going to really do this like I'm doing it, we can't. But this is not for most men. Did you know that pastors, that's not true of them? Because the Bible says you ought to be the husband of one wife. Just for the record's sake, you cannot be a woman and a pastor. Because you can't be the husband of one wife. In fact, I think it goes a little bit farther than that. It means you have to have children. Years ago, Brother Kimmel and I got in a little bit of an argument. And as you know, he never had any children. And I love Brother Gene. He got very discouraged. He said, I'm just going to go back and pastor a church. As you know, he'd started deaf ministries for years all across the country and so forth. And he said, I'm just going to go back and pastor a church. I said, Gene, you're not qualified. What do you mean I'm not qualified? It says, the Bible says, having your children in subjection. I said, you don't even have any to have in subjection. So well, you believe the Bible? You say, yeah. End of the argument. And he was just discouraged at the time. And he knew what I was talking about. By the way, it says having your children subjection. Understand this. That does not mean that pastors are going to have perfect children. I'm going to tell you why. It's because they hang out with the deacon's children. But it does mean that when he has a problem with his children when they're in their home, that he's going to take care of it. Two of my boys, I can't remember which two, they had been in trouble at church. And I don't remember what they did. They were fighting. You raise four boys, you're going to have a couple fights here and there. It goes with the territory. And so they were fighting with each other, and it was a church, so I just brought them down to the lobby. I said, you stand right here and you hug each other. Well, people are going to come in. They'll think you love your brother. And guess what I didn't have any more problem with? Fighting before church started. You take care of some things. Were they perfect? No. By no means. It just doesn't happen. But God does have those kinds of things. I don't know how I got off on that, but it was just there. Verse number 8 and 9. And I'm going to close with this. He says, I say therefore the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I, but if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it's better to marry than to burn. God puts in the hearts of most men the desire for a woman. If that be true, then God has one for you. And you let God bless and work in that. But if that's not there, There's probably a reason. And there's a few men like that. There's a few women like that. And God can use them in some very unusual ways. And to that, Paul is saying, amen. What are we looking at? We're looking at God wanting to understand something. That is, marriage is honorable and all. It's something that's a committal. It's something where a man takes a wife and she is his for life. It's not something that's flippant. It's not something that's just for a little while, like so many want to do. And it's going through. By the way, there's some hard spots in life. And what a blessing when we can have that one that's going to go through with us. God wants us to, I believe, to really seek that. I'm going to talk to these guys right here, especially they're younger. I know parents right now who are praying for their children that God give them the right man and the wife. And their kids are like 3 and 4 years old. Does that sound ridiculous? Not at all. That's what you need to do, pray. Ask God to bring you the right one and to give you the sense to see it. Okay? And you'll know it. You'll know it when it happens. There's some guidelines we can go by. You came to know Christ your Savior, what, in 3, 4, 5 weeks? Let me give you a guideline here. The Bible says, and we find it in Corinthians, that we ought not to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Would you call marriage a yoke? A yoke's when you hook two people together. The word is yes. We could make a few jokes about the yoke, but we won't do that in mixed company, okay? And seriously, I mean, it's a yoke. So one of the things you look for is a woman who knows the Lord as her Savior too. Okay? Where are you going to find her at? Oh, I know. I'm going to go down to a local bar. Well, you shouldn't be there anyways. And you're not going to find her there. There's two great places, by the way. There's other places. I met my wife at church. She sang in the choir. And I have to admit, I didn't go to church to hear the sermon. I went to church to watch the choir girls. And but God used that. Okay? I know I'm picking on you, but I'm talking to him too. And I'm talking to these girls too. But you want that kind of a girl. I want it saved. Okay? But you need something else. If you're attending church and doing what you're supposed to do, you don't want a girl that's not doing that. Okay? Just some guidelines for you to do. All righty? That's a good direction to go. You girls, that's the need. You get one of those other bums, and that's what you're going to get. Bum guys are a dime a dozen. Now let me be very plain. They want you for one reason. It's your body. It's not your mind. It's not you. And when they get tired of it, they'll throw you away like a wad of paper. You want someone to take you through life. Serious. And so, what do you girls need to do? You need to pray, God, help me to be the right kind of woman now and lead me to the right kind of man. Because it is absolutely important. I've been married 47 years. I've been working out. I've been pumping iron. I've been riding bicycle. You know why? I'm trying to get to the 50th. Okay? It's just, that is where it's... Amen, brethren? These folks can testify to that. Amen? And I mean, it's neat. You look around, you see that. It's just a blessing. Amen? Seriously. And I could point some out. I look at Doc and Dee, and it's fun to watch Doc and Dee. Mm-hmm. And they get along so wonderfully. Dee says, do this, and Doc says, yes, ma'am. I mean, it's just it's wonderful to watch. Dream on. I love Doc's philosophy. Doc says, I had a choice to make in my marriage. Do I want to be happy or do I want to be right? And he says, I want to be happy. I remember when he first told me that, Dee was standing off to the side and she perked up and says, and I like being right. Oh, my. Well, we're going to go a little farther in this as we get into some more verses here. But let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. We've had a little bit of fun with this, but I want you guys to really get something. And you adults here, pray for these guys too. Amen? That God lead them to the right one. And they might have enough sense to see it. Because sometimes God doesn't, we kind of get stupid. Okay? She might have buck teeth. But she's the right one. Hey, you and Bucky would do great, all righty? Stay in there. All of us are deformed somehow. Okay? So it is. Well, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much tonight for this time. I pray you might bless. I pray especially for our young folks as they might understand the tremendous importance that this is. And when you've said that let every man have his own wife, the significance of that and the depth of that. Lord, I pray that you might lead each one of these to the right one. And Lord, I pray for our couples here, Lord, that we might be the right kind of illustration to them. And Lord God, that you might just bless in our homes and strengthen us in you. And Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for this time together. We pray now in Christ's name. Amen.